Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is October 6th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. We love having you on, though, live, so you can be part of the discussion. Love that. And a couple things real quick before we start our call. First off, wanted to just bring everybody's attention to something that's been in the news that I've been kind of following and watching that I think would be interesting. Your customers may somebody brought this to my attention before I saw it. So that's why I wanted to bring this up, because there is the Supreme Court right now. Supreme Court of the United States is reviewing the Safe Drinking Water Act. In particular, they're looking at the terms describing landowner use, right, and what you can do with the water on your property. And this has been a big issue out west, in particular with the drought and with, you know, streams running through. Are you allowed to dam it up? Are you, you know, how does it impact the water down the line? It's been a really big issue for states, you know, and what states can do, but also private landowners and what they can do with the water that runs through their property. So this is going to be interesting. It could open the door for some pretty significant revisions on the Safe Drinking Water Act and the EPA and the Environmental Protection Agency and stuff like that. So it is, among many of the other things that are in the news and, you know, all over the place, something that your customers may be aware of. So I encourage you to just do a Google alert on it and just follow it and watch it, just because we are experts in the field, or we want to be experts in the field, and we want to know what, you know, when there's a news story. You don't want to be ambushed. Right, when a customer asks you a question about it, it's a great opportunity to show that you are the expert, that you are aware of what's happening in our industry and, you know, things that impact it. So I thought that was interesting. I just read about that a little bit this morning, actually, and was thought I would mention that. So with that, I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Anybody? Jen? Anything? You always go, Callie? Nothing this week? Did I lose you guys? Is everybody still there?
I'm here.
Oh, we're there. Okay. Everybody else? Okay. Went quiet. So they was making sure I wasn't talking to myself. So, all right. Okay. Well, if nobody has anything, then we will move on to our topic today. So, all right. So what I wanted to talk about today were booby traps. So, you know, I was thinking about Indiana Jones, right? The old one, not the silly efforts they made in the new ones. But I'm talking about the old ones, you know, and the originals. You know, when Indiana Jones went, you know, he had to go, you know, through the tunnels and through the ruins and everything, and he'd see the statuette sitting right there on the pillar, and all he had to do was walk 10 feet over and just grab the statuette. But then when he, you know, on the way there, the journey there was just wrought with all kinds of obstacles, booby traps, if you will, right, where, you know, you open this door and here comes a spike, and you step on this little tile and here comes a big rock, and, you know, and there are snakes and everything else. So how is that relevant to what we do out there in the field? Well, I used to try and set booby traps. I used to think of it that way a little bit, not like deadly, because I didn't want to kill my competitors, not most of them anyway. None of them. I didn't want to kill any of them. They were all wonderful, wonderful people who certainly deserved to be alive. Honest. I came out really bad. This is being recorded, isn't it? But what I would do sometimes is set traps for them, especially when I knew they were coming behind me. Okay, so when I knew that they were going to be, you know, or if I knew that there was a possibility, or even if they had been there ahead of me, I could sometimes find out who had been there, not by, I mean, sometimes you come straight out and you ask the question, so have you had an opportunity to do any research on water treatment? And sometimes people will, yeah, I had another company come out. Now, I never usually came directly out, so that's what I would ask when I'm doing my qualifying questions. I would say, you know, so have you had an opportunity to research water treatment? And they would say, you know, well, I did some digging around on the internet. Okay, great. Or they say, yeah, we had another company out here. Okay, now the instinct is to come out, oh, really, who was that? And you can do that. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but that sometimes puts the customer's defenses up where they suddenly think that you're about to bash your competitors. And I know that a lot of people have the tendency to do that, but we don't want to bash our competitors. All joking aside, they're just trying to make a living. They have a different product and quality and service than we do, but we're not going to bash them. They may many times bash us, but we're going to set ourselves apart by not bashing them. And frankly, our customers are going to appreciate that because customers don't like listening to two competitors bash each other. That being said, they do want to know the differences. So what I would say instead of, oh, really, who was that? I would say, well, did they have any particular features? You know, were there any features advantages or qualities that their system had that really excited you, that you were really interested in? And a lot of times they would say something like, yeah, they had this, they had a modem that actually the system would dial in and call the service department. That told me, because I knew who my competitors were and I had read the service manuals and the owner's manuals of my competitors, because I researched not only the equipment, I stepped out of my bubble and learned not only the equipment I sold, but also the equipment that they sold. I could recognize who was out there simply by the things, by the way they sold them. Okay, so simply by the way they talked about them. And so I learned in asking those questions what features my competitors were really trying to sell. And then I looked, and sometimes I didn't have those features. Sometimes the equipment that I carried did not have, the stuff that I sold at the time didn't have a modem, didn't even have electricity. So those of you who know the equipment out there know what I was selling, right? What company I worked with at that point. And if you do, that's good. If you know, if I say to you it doesn't use electricity and you know what company that is that doesn't use electricity for their valve, good for you. That's what I'm talking about, okay? You don't even have to say the name of the manufacturer, the company, to know what that is, which means that you don't have to go in and start bashing. You don't have to get that customer's defenses up. Okay, so I would ask that question. So were there any features that you were really interested in, okay? Now, that's how I learned what my competitors were selling, what features they were really looking at, what they were pushing, you know, what they were excited about and trying to set their system apart from everybody else's. Okay, that's how I learned what they were doing. Once I had that information, I was able to set some traps. Okay, and what I mean by traps would be sometimes this is what I would say. Sometimes, I mean, you know, I carried a system that did not have electricity. Okay, that did not use electricity. So what I would say sometimes, I'd be down in a basement. I would often have this conversation in the basement or where the water main is, or, you know, when you're doing the plumbing assessment. And those of you that have, we haven't talked about this in a long time, you know, and that'd be a good topic to go back to and talk about the plumbing assessment again. But the plumbing assessment is where you have your service hat on. You don't look or act like a salesperson there. You're actually testing, you know, you're looking more like a service technician as opposed to a salesperson at that point, hopefully. And the fact is, customers trust salespeople more, or I'm sorry, service technicians more than they trust salespeople. That's just a fact. Okay, they're and so when you start, you know, you have your literature and your brochures and you're all spread out at the table and you're talking price and all that stuff. Now you have your salesperson hat on and customers are defensive. They're less open with information when you have your salesperson hat on than when you are acting and working like a service technician. Okay. So you ask that question, you know, and you can say things like, this is an example of one of the traps that I laid, knowing that if I were up against, you know, in an area where I was up against that company that had a system that dialed in, that had a modem that dialed into the company, you know, and told them when there was a service problem, which is a really cool feature. Okay, I mean, there are apps out there. There are lots of softwares out there that have apps now that have, you know, it will alert you on your phone when you're low on salt. You know, it will. I mean, there are some really cool features out there on some of the systems out there. But if you don't have them, you know, if you don't have those features, I mean, what I would do is I would sometimes say something. I mean, at the time they didn't have apps. I mean, I was carrying a Palm Pilot at the time. Okay, so there were no smartphones back when I was in sales. We started off when I was in sales that brick. Some of you on this call may not even been born yet. You may not even know what I mean by the brick. But the brick was this big, humongous, about the size of a brick, walkie-talkie/phone. You guys remember those? Anybody in the business or use those when you first started coming into the workforce? They or when we're out there, it was always annoying. The service guys would always, they'd be like right in the middle of the service sales call, and you'd get one of your teammates that would beep in and say, "Hey, a-hole," you know, except not say it, you know, really loud. We had to have a policy that we weren't allowed to. You just had to beep once and let somebody answer because they might be in an appointment. But anyway, those. Oh, good times. Anyway, I actually carried what I called my bat belt when I went into the house. I had my belt and I had my flashlight, like a little, you know, little bitty mag light. I had my Leatherman. I had my phone on my belt. I had my Palm Pilot on my belt. So I called it my bat belt. I mean, literally, I had all these things attached. Like a holster on my, and I walked in, and I would tell people, I'd say, you know, I'd say our system doesn't use electricity. You know, I said, look, I'm a Gidget Gadget guy. This is exactly how I would say it back then. I say, I'm a Gidget Gadget guy. Obviously, look at my bat belt here. I mean, I like my gadgets. I like the technology. And there's this one system out there that even has a modem on it that will call in when you have problems. I love the concept of that. I think it's a super cool idea. Until I start thinking of where you're putting this thing. You're installing it down in a basement where there's moisture and condensation and you've got salt, you know, you put salt in, salt powder gets all over the electronics, something. Am I really surfing the internet with a water softener? Do I really need that much? And so I'm probably using it for, you know, the first couple weeks and I'm really super excited about it, but then all I want to know is that it's going to work and that it's going to work for, you know, 20 years. And I don't, you know, I don't need to surf the internet on it. So that's why I really like, you know, a system that doesn't have all of that stuff because it's less stuff to break. Now I would say that, and I never mentioned the competitor's name. I never mentioned who they were. never mentioned anything about it. Okay. But then when the competitor that has that system comes in behind me and starts talking about how cool that feature is, they are excited about that feature. It's a super awesome feature. They're really excited about that feature, and they're talking about it. And now the customer, they walked onto the landmine. They walked into that booby trap without even knowing that they were walking over the landmine or the booby trap. Okay, they walked right, they stepped on it. So this thing is awesome. It actually will dial in. You don't even have to worry about it. It will dial in. It has a modem on it. And then the customer says, well, how long is the warranty on that system? And back then, that system had a one-year warranty on that part of it. It's 5-year on some of the other stuff and, you know, in the lifetime or, you know, on the tanks and all that stuff. But it was only 1 year on that modem. And at the time, so the customer would say, you know, that was up against the system that I had that had a 10-year top-to-bottom warranty on it. You know, it was all the way through it. And so, you know, the customer would say, well, how long is the warranty on that? And they would go, oh, it's lifetime. Is it lifetime on the electronics as well? Because they looked it up. They were interested. They actually maybe liked that feature. And now that salesperson is stumbling around saying, and they walked over a landmine. They didn't even know it. Okay, so here's my question to you guys. Okay, what does anybody leave landmines out there? Anybody doing that? Can you, without talking product or company? Okay, I don't want to talk product or company on this. I want to make sure that we are staying with features only. But is anybody else doing that? Anybody else have a landmine that they're leaving, or thoughts on that process or concept?
Kelly, I've actually, I guess you could say, used landmines, but it was for situations where I knew that the competitor was going to bash our equipment. And, you know, they apparently had misconceptions as to what our equipment did,
yeah,
and how much salt it used,
yeah,
stuff like that. So I knew what they were going to say. And I would say, you know, there's some misconceptions out there that this or that, you know, and then that way when those did come out, then the customer already knew the truth, you know.
And you could even say it, Jen. That's a great example. So you could even say it in such a way that, you know, one of the things that I really, I believe in, this is the way I would word that, kind of the same thing. Okay, I really believe in our equipment. I believe in what it does. I love the features of it. It's not the only good one out there, though. There, you know, I have taken the time to read, you know, the material to understand what the other, you know, what the other equipment that's out there does, you know, so I understand what it does. And I know that, you know, that other systems have this and that, and, you know, as compared to ours. And so that sets landmine, because they basically the landmine then becomes the fact that you've been the expert. You have chosen to carry this product and to recommend this product because look, most customers are going to say, well, of course you're going to recommend this product. It's what you sell. You know, of course that's the one you're going to say is the best, because that's the one you sell, right? And if you turn it around and make it exactly kind of as you're saying, that it's not just because I work here and I sell it. I work here and I sell it because I believe it's the best, and I believe it's the best based on knowledge of having researched what the other people have. And so when you do it that way, it almost becomes, you know, you get set apart, not necessarily only because of the features and the misconceptions they have, but they then will ask that other, you know, your competitor the questions about, so what do you know about this? And when then they start making up what are obviously misconceptions and talking points, yet you have shown them the evidence, you know, you've shown them the spec sheet, you know, or the tech manual or all of that stuff. You set yourself apart as the expert at that point. That's a great example. It's a great example. Anybody else have thoughts on that? Anybody? So what is the importance of, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, right? So, you know, of knowing your, the information, the, you know, knowing the specs. What are some of the things, I guess, I'm trying to bring you guys into the conversation here. You know, what are some of the things that you might want to learn or know about either what are some of the things that you need to know in order to set those landmines or those booby traps? Anybody want to jump in on this one? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Well, like you said, mentioned before, I guess the knowledge of the competitor's product would be a good start. Knowing what they carry, different from what you normally carry. For example, I went to a home and I built, a quick rapport with the customer, and they showed me the quotes from the other competitor. And one of them had a electronic RO system, tankless.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was pretty cool, but I had read about them and, it needs electricity to run. And we're out east, where I manage my territory, they have a lot of outages, and they're not considered high priority because of the distance, I guess. The population amount. So, I explained how ours didn't require electricity, and God forbid you're ever in a power outage, you'll still have water supply. So, and I didn't realize I was leaving landmines. It was just, just overcoming the hesitation, essentially.
Yeah. Right. Well, so the landmines are, I mean, that's how to, there's a difference. And you're right, Marco, that could be used as an example. You could even say that. I mean, kind of the same way. Like, there are, you can almost do the same thing. There are these ROs out there that do this and have that feature and this. And I love that. I think it's super cool. My only concern, and this is how you might word it, right? So you're not bashing them. My only concern with that might be, the power outages that we have out here. I live out here, and I know that we're not a priority when, we get a storm and stuff like that. And that's when you need that high-quality water the most. That would be my only hesitation to a system like that. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons I don't recommend them out here, because – you want that's during a storm and when the power goes out and all of that, you want that high quality water regardless. You want that, and you don't want to, you know what I mean? You could set that landmine even before they come, especially if you're up against, that mm-hmm. competitor might come in. So that's a excellent example. And look, it's really important, you guys, to not bash that system. What you want to do, you still want to leave it. I mean, look, because it's cool, right? It is. Some of those features are kind of cool. I think I always give the example of, this isn't water treatment, but, when I had a Ford Explorer, and I used to love the feature that I loved. One of the features that I loved on my Explorer was the keyless entry. It had the buttons on the side of the door. So when I flew or traveled somewhere, I would just throw my keys under the seat of the car, and when I got back from the trip, I just used the keyless entry, hit the code, and I get in, the keys were in the car, and I would, and I'd drive away. I loved that feature. Now with my Jeep Grand Cherokee, I can't do that. I have to carry the keys with me, in fact, the car is set up to where it won't even allow me to lock the keys in the car, which is also a cool feature. But, the locks will pop back up if you try and leave the keys in the car for somebody else to, get the car or whatever. But I loved that keyless entry. A limitation to the keyless entry, though, I mean, that's a great feature. But a limitation that I never thought of until it happened to me was that one time, after being gone for a week, I came back and my car was in the parking spot and my battery was dead. Guess what? My keyless entry didn't work then. And guess where my keys were? Inside the car under the seat. And so that's a great feature. But it does. Every feature has its limitations. And there is nothing wrong with setting that landmine, you know, to be there. I mean, there's nothing wrong if I were, you know, selling against that. If I sold Jeep Grand Cherokees and somebody came in and really wanted that feature, there would be nothing wrong with setting the landmine and pointing that out, you know, and talking about that. You know, it doesn't make it a bad thing. You know, it would then be up to the customer to decide whether that's something they want or don't want. Are they willing to pay an extra $300 or $400 for that limitation, for a system that has that limitation, basically? Does that make sense to you guys? You know, so you have to know your equipment. You have to know your competitor's equipment as well, and you have to know, you know, what, as a customer, what would excite you? You know, what would excite you? But also, what are the very real limitations to it? Nothing wrong with pointing those things out, setting, because your competitors, in most cases, are not going to be prepared right then and there to address that, to address those limitations. All they're going to be used to doing is spewing out their script, the same thing every time. Okay, they're not going to know how to go off track. Okay, any other thoughts on all this? Anybody else have any thoughts or examples here? So, bottom line, know your product. Know your competitors, not only their product, but also what they're selling and how they sell, and go in and have that conversation with the customers. Okay? Final comments? All right, then that's all I got to say about it. Thank you very much, you guys. We will talk to you. Somebody else have something?
No, I was just giggling. We have a quiet group today.
It's quiet. I know. I love that you guys are here, and I hope that you pulled something out of it. But so thank you very much for that. But you guys be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, everyone.